get started, I'd like to call to order our regular scheduled meeting of the OC Parks Commission. If you'll please join me, and John, would you lead us in our pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Chair Solver?
Here.
Vice Chair Ashland? Commissioner Diaz?
Here.
Commissioner Hansen?
Here.
Commissioner Warren?
Here.
Commissioner Jones?
Here.
Commissioner Gabbard?
Here.
Chair, we have quorum.
Thank you very much. At this time, we'll give the public an opportunity to address the commission on items of interest within our jurisdiction. Anything that's not contained on tonight's agenda, if it is, we'll be addressing those during the agenda time. Is there anyone wishing to speak?
We have received no request to speak,
okay.
Chair.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to address the commission at this time? Okay, hearing none, I'll close the public comment time. And we will now move on to presentations. Tonight, we are going to give certificates of recognition and gratitude to the Irvine Museum. The Irvine Museum recently donated a collection of artwork to OC Parks that showcases examples of picturesque landscapes of the county's past and promotes the appreciation for the California's artistic heritage. The Commission OC Parks would like to present the Irvine Museum with a certificate of recognition and gratitude at this time for their generous donation. And I believe that we do have a representative from the museum.
We do. So we have Mr. Jim Irvine Swindon right here.
Can he come up and introduce and tell us a little bit about the museum?
Yes,
and himself?
I wanted to just give a little bit more history, if that's
okay. Go ahead,
okay.
Be my guest.
So in February of this year, we were informed by Mr. Swindon that we were going to be getting a donation of some artwork, gorgeous artwork, and in fact, where is that? There we go.
It's next to the Monet, right?
It is. It is next to the Monet. And we have one right here, right behind us. So this is what they look like. They're absolutely gorgeous. And some of this artwork was already on loan, and you might have seen it on our campus. And we had been so lucky to have been able to have this on loan for many years. And currently, we have accepted now 22 pieces of artwork, which is a total estimated value of about $24,250, but I would say it's priceless. And so we will continue to display it at OC Parks headquarters and other facilities throughout our system. And we also have loaned out two pieces, and I haven't told you this, to one of the board supervisors who saw this when they approved it. And we make sure that they understand that it's ours, and you have to give it back when they're done with it. So, yeah, making sure we're good stewards of this. Each of the pieces depicts scenes of California history, natural environments, and features of several Orange County landmarks. So the donation was accepted by the Board of Supervisors officially on August 13th, 2024. And so with that, I do have two certificates of recognition with gratitude for this generous donation to Mr. Jim Irvine Swindon, as well as to the Irvine Foundation.
Thank you so much.
Swindon. My great-great-grandfather was James Irvine, and many of you probably knew my mother, Joan Irvine Smith, who was active in the community for many, many years. The museum was actually founded for her desire to be able to use these paintings to be able to show the natural beauty of California, but also to address environmental issues, which was very close to her heart, and mainly water, because water was the prime commodity for the ranch. The two images you see here are iconic places in California. This is Crystal Cove State Park, and the painting behind you is Irvine Park. And both of them were done by extremely talented artists from the period of the 1890s all the way to 1893. So for those unfamiliar with the museum, I donated the collection to the University of California, Irvine 5 years ago. They promised to build a brand new museum, which will be on campus, and a much larger museum, so we'll be able to show more pieces. But I encourage you to come and see the museum, because it's all part of our heritage. With that, though, I would like to thank you and the board for what you do for the county and for the people of Southern California, and particularly, in my case, for our family and our heritage and connection we have to the land. So thank you much.
I told him he could leave after he was done.
Okay, well, I got to give two accolades, okay?
Oh, then you'll stay for that, I'm sure.
We know that you gave to the Board of Supervisors, okay? They probably don't appreciate as much as this group right here, because we're kind of like the hands-on guys. So we do want to thank you for that, because I think it's important that this history of the California, of Orange County, and of course your family representation, gets a chance to be on display for the public. You know, it's always nice to have an exhibit every once in a while, but hopefully we'll be come up with a permanent type of display so that we can have these shown to everyone all the time. So on behalf of our group here, our happy group, if you would please pass it on to all the heirs, the family members, and the rest of the people that are responsible for this, we want to truly thank you for what you've done today. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I'll extend an offer that at any time you would like me to come and give a lecture on the art and on the ranch, I'd be happy to do that.
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
In my day job, I work for Crystal Cove Conservancy. I was with Laguna Canyon Foundation prior to that. So just the contribution your family has made to Crystal Cove and to Laguna Canyon has just been county altering. So thank you.
Well, those are two of my mother's favorite projects, as you well know.
Yeah,
so, but the entire ranch has been, it's been interesting to see over the years how the development's taken place, but one of the great things is my mother always wanted to have a large part of the ranch still be open space, and close to over 50,000 acres of open space, which is almost close to half the ranch, so it's really cool.
It's amazing.
And thank you for the work that you guys do. And I hope you come to the museum this one day. And of course, you're invited. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to the consent calendar. Does anybody need to pull anything on the minutes for correction? Okay, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody abstain?
Abstain.
Anybody opposed? Thank you. That passes. We'll move on now to our discussion calendar, items A and B. Item A is Ted Craig Regional Park Lease.
And so tonight we're going to have Brian Curno down there. He's going to present this item.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Brian Curno, Consulting Division Manager with Oasis Parks. I'm here to present to you the Ted Craig Regional Park lease extension pursued by OC Parks for the continued operation of the regional park. Ted Craig Regional Park, as many of you know, is one of our major regional parks serving the northern area of the county. It includes many high-quality amenities, as shown on this map. It includes picnic areas, playgrounds, various sport facilities, including basketball, handball, volleyball, baseball, and softball fields, along with a lake, rose garden, and several native plant gardens. So a little bit of history here. So the park serves as a U.S. Army Corps flood basin and was conveyed to the county on a rent-free lease back in 1972 for a 25-year period. Subsequent to that, there was a few minor extensions, and then to essentially going to today, which was superseded by a 25-year lease, also a rent-free lease that currently expires essentially in 2028, which was approved after the completion of the park's master plan. So although the lease doesn't expire until 2028, we're seeking an early renewal on this lease as a result of two grants that we were awarded, one for a bike park and the other one for dredging the, or basically lake repairs for the lake that we have out at this facility. So the new term has been negotiated with the Army Corps of Engineers already for a 25-year period. It's basically the max they're able to do, and would be a restatement of the lease starting essentially over in 2024 for a 25-year term with an expiration date of August 31st, 2049. And the new lease, as mentioned, would continue to be a rent-free term as before. So a very quick presentation here, but essentially the recommended action is that county staff persist in pursuing a 25-year lease with the United States Army Corps of Engineers to continue operation of Tech Creek Regional Park. I am here along with Ron Enway from our real estate team for any questions you may have.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Go ahead.
Yeah. Do you have a map that shows it? Let me back up. Thank you. So what part is the Army Corps of Engineer area and what part is Orange County Parks?
So the Army Corps of Engineer area is probably about 70 to 80% of the entire park. There's, unfortunately, I don't have a slide showing the area that we lease versus what we own, but we do own, I would say, a fairly small portion of this area in fee, but the vast majority of it is about 90 acres at about 124 acres.
So 91 of the 124, 91 is the Army Corps of Engineer area?
That's correct.
And do we pay for this?
No, it's rent-free.
Why didn't the bike park get built yet? I heard that the Army Corps of Engineers had a say in it, and that was slowing things down.
So I can provide a little bit of feedback on that. We also have Janine Cassiello here, who's with our planning and design team. But what I can say is, so as part of this effort, basically we needed to comply with the terms of the grant. So the grant was provided by the California Department of Parks and Recreation, and there's a number of things that needed to take place before we can move forward on this actual project. So working with the Army Corps is not necessarily a quick process. We've been working on this lease for about 2 years, this lease extension, which was a condition of the grant. So we're finally at the final stretch here, and the other portion is the Army Corps providing what's called a letter of no objection for the plans. And so once we hit that, then we can formally accept the grant, and then we can move forward with essentially the 100% plans and design, bidding for construction and everything else. So it's just been a bit of a road to get here, but we're very close to the end of the road where we can actually get
started. Yeah, it's over a decade.
Yeah.
So the bike park was an idea that came when I heard John Burke, the owner of Trek, talking about being somewhere in your area and doing something. And I then spoke with Todd Spitzer about that at the time, and he put me in contact with, help me with the gentleman's name, at the time, who was held your position almost a decade ago.
Yeah.
And then we visited three different parks. And this park had the area because it's a flood basin, so if it does flood over, no big deal, we'll just redo the bike park again. And it's gone, like, to me, nowhere, and this is over a decade.
So it has made some progress, but I don't want us to get too far into this since that is not on our agenda, the bike park itself. But I can tell you that we have made significant progress in the past 2 years with our Army Corps of Engineers, and we're actually getting concurrence on different parts, elements of the bike park. So whereas I think probably 3 years ago, I thought, oh, we may never get this, I actually feel like this is a much more.
So my thought was it was a smaller portion where I'm like, just kick it loose. They're not going to say we can ever do anything with it. It's been a decade. Yeah. But now I found out today it's 75% of the park.
Yeah.
So that's a different play than if it's only 10 acres over in the corner. Because that's where they want to put the bike lane. It's over in the corner somewhere, isn't it?
It's on, it's on their property,
It's, it's out of the corner, right? Yeah. All right.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
So my favorite job, or favorite thing to do in the world, not my job, but my favorite thing to do is to push back on the Army Corps. So have we verified that this 25-year lease term is the max the lawyers have looked at, and they've said there's a law out there that says 25 years.
That's
they're
right.
Not making it up.
I don't believe so. I don't believe they're making this one up. Okay. Yeah.
Well, the first one was 25, the second one was 25, and now we're looking at another 25.
Correct, yeah.
So if they've been making it up, they're good maker.
They're pretty good. They're very consistent on making that up. That's the case.
Right.
But
they still make it up.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, thank you.
The two young lads here, let me know how it turns out in 25 years. I'm going to be 102. So let me know if it works out okay.
You'll probably be writing on it, so you can just let us know.
I think the key word here, if you look at the action, is the word staff persists. Mm-hmm. And I think that means that we are really pushing for that.
Correct.
And hopefully that will work out. The only thing I see wrong there is I can see a couple of pickleball areas that we could throw on there. Because it is quite a large park. And I don't know if we ever thought of doing that, but I know we're going to be doing a study on that. Is there anyone on the commission that would like to ask a question at this time?
No. I'll just say I wasn't there for the first 25 years of the lease, but it's a wonderful park, and I've had a chance to go there. What can't really be seen when looking at the map is that the dam is at the very end. The trails kind of just stop at the edge of the map, but that's where the dam is.
Yeah.
But it's a great park. I've had a chance to visit it, and happy to see that we're going to hold on to it if we approve this.
Mm-hmm. And it's really pretty park.
Go ahead.
Well, and if you don't have this, then you close the park.
Correct. So the good thing is that we would at least get through the Summer Olympics when it's in LA, and then that would be it. So as you heard from Brian and Ron have been working on this for 2 years. To be able to get it to this point. And it's good that we start things very early with Army Corps of Engineers because it does take a long time. They have limited staff and they need to have funding in order to work on things. So it's a little more complicated than what we do.
You measure visits. That's your key, key performance index is the visits. Is the visits for this park outpacing other parks, behind other parks, about the same?
I think it's pretty consistent. It's well loved, just like all of our regional parks.
And so it's not outpacing any of the other parks. It's just a consistent, North County. Yeah. It's the most North County park, if I remember right, isn't it?
I think Carbon's a little bit.
Carbon's a little bit. Okay. Yeah, all right. Beats it a little bit in the north. Okay.
But
it makes sense. People from La Habra coming over, and really, I think people from outside of Orange County come in from LA County, which is north, I would imagine. Do you know how many people from LA County enjoy
percentage? I don't know, but I know when we have our events, we have a better idea of how many are coming from the outside of the area, and it's a pretty good amount.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority are from Orange County. So the majority of people who are coming to OC Parks tend to be from Orange County, but depending on what the event is, depending on the weather, depending on so many factors, we will sometimes get a large influx from LA County, Riverside County,
and
San Diego County.
Parking in this park is still very limited, isn't it? Don't people have to park out on, what is it, Placentia? Or I forget the street.
They can park inside the park, but they do have to pay, so a lot of times they won't.
But there's a lot of parking out in the streets
in
this park, right?
One thing I'll add about this park is that it's across the street from the Berea Mall, and it's just down the street from Cal State Fullerton, where I graduated from. So there's plenty of opportunities to get up there.
Yeah.
How much do we pay in maintenance on that year, about?
I do not have that information.
You know, sometimes very rarely government wants to sell stuff. And as long as they still have the rights to do what they want, you know, it might be cheaper for us to buy it over a long period of time.
I don't think they're selling.
Huh?
I don't think they're selling.
I know.
Because they're using it as...
But if the cost of maintenance outweighs the purchase price.
Yeah.
I just...
It would take us many years of maintenance in order to have enough money to buy a piece of land in Orange County. So I don't know how much we're spending
per year.
And
it's still tied to the dam.
And they have not indicated that they would ever be willing to sell it to us. So
now there's a wetland behind the dam off of the 71. Are you familiar with that one? Mm-hmm. It's also owned by the
Cronin.
Yeah, right. I visited that dam, and I know that it floods pretty good back there when it rains.
Yeah.
But we're a great wilderness area that I think would be something, if you're going to have a wilderness area for OC Parks, that might be a good place to have an expansion. Because if it's not raining heavily and flooding, the wildlife and fauna there is unremarkably great.
Yeah.
And it would probably be usable most of the year. So as long as we're dealing with the Orange County Board of Engineers, why don't we see if that might be available for OC Parks?
Well, I think I would tell Ron and Brian, start working now, and maybe before the Olympics, we would have an answer if they even wanted to sell it, but we can look into it.
Okay, because if you don't, I'll just pick up the phone and call them.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dave.
When was the dam constructed? I don't remember that off the top.
Brian, do you remember that? I don't know. It was before, this park was leased. So it had to have been before the 70s.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many years.
And just thinking, there's a lot of infrastructure that developed from the great floods in the early part of the 1900s in Orange County. And I am curious about going forward in the future is how functional this dam is compared to the infrastructure today that's meant to curb some of the effects that happened predominantly during those great floods in the earlier in the century.
They are really good communicators with our team. So anytime they have to release water, they let us know in advance. So if there's parts of the park that we might have to evacuate, we do that. So they're very proactive when it comes to operating the dam. So this is not an inoperable dam. This is something that's very active, and they have a team that's working there. They're not the same people that are working on the leases. So they're right there.
And this might be slightly separate, but can we say the same for Carbon Canyon and the Villa Park Dam?
I don't know.
The functionality, so we're talking about how this dam is still functional. Do we still see the Villa Park and Carbon Canyon dams as functional?
Yes, they both are functional. I believe the gates are operated, monitored, and they do notify us of impacts. They do use it as active flood control, from my knowledge.
John, back to your question. I do know that the Army Corps of Engineers does a continual upgrading of their dams. I know the one, I can't think of the name, the one off the 71 there. Right. I had just visited it after they did all the reconstruction, and they had completely gone through it, the gates, everything. So they stay on top of that. I imagine they do that with most of their facilities. Okay.
The one off the 71, isn't that not in Orange County?
No, it's in Riverside.
Yeah, that's not enough. We couldn't have that because it's in Riverside.
We'll adopt them. Is there anyone from the audience that would like to address this item on the agenda?
Just every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We do have a.
I know it's confusing because they're all like mushed in together.
It's an
It's not it.
OC Public Works operates out of there still.
There's some.
There's some flood control problems.
There's some problem over there. Yeah. Sorry.
I need a motion to pursue the elusive 25-year lease and nail it down, bag it, and bring it home. Thank you, sir. Is there a second? Second, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Thank you, that passes.
Thank you very much.
See, you got the motion from the youngins. we'll make sure it's still there in 25 years.
Okay, hopefully I'll be looking down on you. Okay, number B, Santiago Equestrian Center lease extension.
Before we move forward, I've been informed that the Fullerton Dam, is that what this is then, John? John texted me, which normally I don't look at my text at all during meetings, but it was completed in 1941.
Oh, so I was thinking post-1930s.
So. Uh-huh. It was in the 1900s, back when I was just a little girl, but not in 1940. So, yes, the next item. Santiago Equestrian Center lease extension, and Brian is going to take the lead on this one as well.
I wanted to sit down just so I could stand up. Well, good evening again, commissioners. So the item we have here, so Santiago Equestrian Centers is one of our long-term tenants with OC Parks, and they've requested a lease extension in consideration of some significant investments that they want to do to the site. So a little bit of background here. The Equestrian Center is located on approximately 6.3 acres of land off of Santiago Canyon Road within the park limits of Whiting Ranch Wilderness Park. The address out there is 18381 Santiago Canyon Road. The Equestrian Center has been located on this piece of property prior to the county's ownership of the land, and we acquired the land back in 1997 and started them on a month-to-month lease. Subsequently, that was superseded by a long-term lease, and right now, the Equestrian Center essentially provides affordable equestrian amenities for basically the greater Orange County area compared to other equestrian centers within the region. So on this map here is the, depicted in yellow, is essentially the lease area. What we have, just to give you a little tour, so entrance coming in off of Santiago Canyon Road, they have their main barn here where they have a lot of hay storage on this structure here. The main stable area is this white structure. There's some additional pipe stalls down over here, and they have essentially a main riding arena kind of towards the street side of the shop and a smaller one next to it, and then some additional basically storage for their boarders down here, and I believe another little arena down here. So basically just to give a little background on what's out there right now. So a little bit of history on the lease. So as mentioned, they were there prior to the county's acquisition of the property and existed on a month-to-month. After that, there was a lease there in 2004. They negotiated a lease agreement between the county, and in 2008 established a 20-year term subject to the completion of certain improvements. Due to unforeseen circumstances, they were not able to meet the establishment marks, and the term was reduced down to 5 years. However, the county has continued to work with the Equestrian Center since they've been a great tenant. And in 2016, a lease amendment was approved, extending their lease to December 31st, 2024, and a second amendment due to COVID that essentially provided an additional 3 years, putting their current expiration date at December 7th, 2027. So OC Parks, along with our county real estate team, have worked with the Santiago Equestrian Center over a period of months to reach an agreement on the terms. What we have before you here are the main terms of that lease extension. So based upon an investment of approximately $1.3 million worth of capital, we've agreed to a 15-year extension. These improvements include a retaining wall, an arena, basically reconfiguring the arena with a new shade structure, and two additional horse breezeways for a total of 40 more horse stalls. They offered an increase in rent from 8% to 10%, and they're already responsible for, but basically memorializing a little bit more succinctly, being responsible for the ongoing maintenance of the property. We also provided a provision in there that based upon equitable capital improvements that they would be, we would consider an additional 5-year extension at the end of the negotiated term. So right here it shows you essentially a map of the general locations. So if we take a look, I'll start with the proposed covered arena. So they're looking at reconfiguring the arena into a slightly different location from where the existing arena is right now. There's a retaining wall that helps just with the essentially retaining the earth there behind the stables, which you can see a little bit more succinctly here. And they've identified two locations, one kind of out in front of the existing main breezeway with a new 20-stall barn there, and then another one kind of towards the southern end of the property. So with that, our action here is to recommend that county staff persist in pursuing lease extension with the Southern Sierra Land and Cattle Company and continue operations of the Santiago Equestrian Center. So with that, I am here along with Ron Inouye from Real Estate, and our operator, David Edgar, is also here as well for any questions. Thank you.
I think we should take a tour of this.
It is really pretty.
I will take the mule. You guys can ride the horses. It'll be okay. That would be something that I think is it's a real positive thing for our park system, because we have the bikes, we have the walkers, and we have the equestrians. Mm-hmm. So I fully support it. Is there any questions about the center? Go ahead, John.
So timeline for the capital improvements.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. So the timeline is 48 months.
Okay. And if they fail to perform?
If they fail to perform, then basically gives the director authorization to be able to essentially pull back the terms of the duration of the lease.
We get a percent of the gross, is that the rate?
Yes, so the way it is right now, it's an 8%, and they've offered a 10% with the new lease.
Do you know what the estimated income there is annually? let me make it easy for you. Does it cover our costs and our involvement there?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, and just to note is that this is a lower cost stable in the area that it does a very good job. So we did take a tour of the facility, and it's very clean, very well run, and there's just not a lot of places like this anymore in Orange County. So to be able to have this and continue to offer it, and there's a lot of commitment from the team that's there. So that's why they're here, to make sure that the questions that you have, that he's here to answer them. But it's a really beautiful facility, and it's nice that it's on our parks.
Go ahead.
I think this is just such an incredible resource for county residents. I mean, we don't have very many equestrian areas left, so I think it's awesome, and I think we as parks should be proud to support it as best we can.
Go ahead, Dave.
The question was asked what the revenue is, monthly, yearly? I didn't hear anything.
We pay roughly $4,000 a month in rent to you guys.
Mm-hmm. Which is 8%.
Which is 8% of our...
So you pay, so 4 equals 8, and so X equals 100. Is that right?
Okay, so 8.
So the revenue... Of 4 equals 8.
About 48,000 a year.
48,000?
Yeah.
Is what comes in.
Is what we pay.
What you guys pay. So 4 equals 8, then X equals 100. So 4 divided by 8. So you have $200,000 worth of income. Does that sound about right?
And then just a reminder that this is gross income, so this doesn't include all the expenses. And
they're paying off the top line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Correct.
So these are people. So your revenue comes from people that you're taking care of their horses. Boarding their horses.
So we board them, we feed them, we clean them, the stalls. We offer shavings.
So if I just want to board a horse for how much is a monthly fee to board a horse?
So that's, yeah, it's hard to do that because horses are way different breeds, but I'll give you just a general. With a quarter horse, feeding alfalfa 3 times a day, let's see here, in a breezeway stall, it's $535 for alfalfa, I think it's, what is it, 70, so 210. So you're roughly, with everything, shavings, everything included, you're probably about $800 a month. Compared to, you got Peacock, San Juan, where is it else? You got the fairgrounds. Those are all pushing north of $1,000.
So you're $800 a month on.
We're very affordable.
How many horses do you have?
Currently, we have 62. We're starting to take down some stalls because they're old. We've been there since 1980.
Who owns it?
I own it now.
You own it now?
So it went from my grandfather to my father to me. Well, to my mother.
What city do you live in?
Silverado. I've been there my whole life. Mm-hmm.
Do you have horses at your house, too?
No. My daughter has a horse, but me personally, no. I'm just the fixer. I like her.
So when you're talking about adding more stalls, are you going to go beyond the 62 horses that you have?
Yes.
Is 100 the goal?
100
flats the
yes.
goal? Uh-huh. And then the cover, is that to have it out in Norco, there's a wonderful big facility of horse events.
So it's a covered arena, yes.
A covered arena. Are you wanting to have events here under the cover?
We can. We have in-house events right now, like dressage clinics, Western events, like roping, stuff like that.
Does that generate revenue?
If we charge, yes. The in-house dressage clinics, we don't charge because it's just our borders, and mm-hmm. then we bring a judge on site, mm-hmm. And we kind of take the hit for that to give our borders.
Okay. How many staff do you have?
Including me, 5.
5? So 4 other people outside the family?
Yeah, there are 4. One is Francisco. He's been there since 1985.
We all know Francisco.
Yeah, he's a lovely old man. He lives on site. So it's 24/7 security and oversight.
Do you charge him rent?
No, it's worked into his
income,
yes. Mm-hmm. The 3 other workers are just day laborers. They feed, they clean, tractor maintenance, stuff.
And that's okay with Orange County Parks if someone's living there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is.
And you guys know that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We just didn't find that out right now?
No, that's
I hope not.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
John?
Yeah, I just want to say I live on horse property, and I'm the property I live on. We're zoned for 11 horses. We used to take in injured horses for recovery. And I understand the local maintenance required. Before I even 18 years old, I was doing some arc welding to put together some of the stalls. This is a lot of work, and I do appreciate that you guys have made it affordable. A lot of facilities have closed in recent years. I think the last major one that comes to mind is Anaheim's facility closing. So I'm happy to see this. I mean, horses, in a way, are part of Orange County's story and its history. And I love the ability for us to be able to continue to support this. One question I do have is looking at the map images, it looks like a housing development's coming in north of the property.
Yeah, we were scared of that because horse manure does smell. We do start our day at 5 in the morning, so tractors are loud. But it's funny, the people moving into there know we're there. Most of them can see us from their house. And that's where a lot of these improvements are going to actually help make the view a little prettier for them. But also, a lot of the residents there have horses. And they're bringing them from San Diego, from San Bernardino, from LA. They're all moving down here, and they want to work at our facility. So that's a lot of push for these new 40 stalls to accommodate them as well.
And the property I live in, we used to have like a floral facility that was behind us, selling trees, plants, and all sorts. Then one year it swaps and becomes a used car dealership. And I must say, I learned a lot of profanities from any time horses were running around, and every clean car on the property was now covered in dirt. But between the dust and the smell, just a small concern that in the future that could be a problem, but I just hope it's not.
Yeah, the dust, there's dust everywhere at a bar, especially there. The nice thing is, where you can see between our facility and the road, is a row of oaks.
Yeah.
So actually, dust does not escape, which kind of sucks for us, but it helps all the people driving by and stuff like that. So dust, we haven't had an issue. I was kind of joking about the manure smell. I've been to those properties, you can't smell it. You barely hear the tractor noises. Just because of where we are, we're kind of in a bowl of the canyon, so all the sound kind of gets bounced between the trees and the hills. So,
you can see that vegetation here just along. So it's kind of hard actually to see the facility when you're driving on San Diego Canyon Road because it's so well protected by all the vegetation there. But if you're up above, then yeah, of course you can see.
Yeah, we have people, they've lived here 20 years, or their whole life. They didn't even know we existed because of those trees. And some of our boarders now, they're, I didn't even know you were here, and I'm so happy I did, because they live in Portola Hills. So they can ride to their house on that trail. We have a lot of people riding from Scorner to Ralph's to Starbucks. And they do get to In-N-Out. They love it. They have a holiday.
Yeah, and just from personal experience, I probably have the dirtiest car in the community because anytime I wash it, it looks exactly the way it did the day before I washed it. It just happens to be that way.
Yeah.
And with the putting in the sheltered space, it's like that, again, with my family, my mom was involved in show jumping for about 30 years out of LA Equestrian. I think you do have an opportunity there where potentially in the future that could be an enhanced revenue source.
Yes.
Again, in terms of facilities where you could have eventing or jumping or so forth, that's again getting better each year.
Yes.
So it seems a great opportunity to kind of attract some sorts.
Yeah, because right now the only two covered arenas is San Juan and Anaheim South. Those are the only two. Mm-hmm. This being in the heart of Orange County, and right in the middle of North and South, it'd be huge for everybody, especially the residents that live in Silverado or Majesca, giving them a place to ride or come to an event. It's huge. And so, and with Anaheim, they might be closing. It's been a 50-50 for years with them.
Yeah.
So just having that in the events is going to be awesome. Yeah. That's a big revenue stream.
I'm not personally involved with horses because, unlucky for my family, I was born with an allergy for hay. It got me out of school a few times.
Me too. I'm allergic to hay, and my family didn't care.
Maybe you feel better.
So the $1.3 million that you're going to spend for the covered area, the retaining wall that's X amount of feet long and high, and the two new stable areas to maybe 20 and 20 more horses to get up to 100.
Yes.
Who put the price tag of 1.3 on that?
I did.
Okay.
I personally called all the suppliers.
So you did the homework.
Yes.
And that's supposed to be done in a 4-year period of time?
That's correct.
So that's like $325,000 a year.
Yes.
Spend on that, on about $600,000 in revenue a year.
That money is coming out of my pocket.
And the lease is for how long? 15? Is that what we're talking about? 15 years? So the 1.3 you're going to spend in capital improvements, and then the goal would be you go from 600,000 to another 40, another X amount up to maybe 800,000 a year because of the other horses. Okay. And you have to do these improvements in 4 years. So do you have to jump through a hoop in year one, or is it all due in 4 years? Does it do this in 1 year and do this in 2 years?
Yeah,
do this in 3 years?
It's phased.
It is phased, and that's part of the agreement?
Yes, the first phase is the retaining wall. That's to hold the hill from
coming down in.
From coming down.
Yeah.
Because over the years we've had that happen. So that's going to be phase one. Make sure that's done, especially before this winter comes in. And I believe part of that phase one is the covered arena. You might have to look at it.
All right.
Yeah, I think the big thing is that to give him the flexibility, because we can't say what the weather will be. So everything has to be done within those 4 years. So if he wants to finish it all in 1 year, great, then it's done and that's complete. But this will give him the flexibility to be able to take those 4 years.
Or the flip side is you're waiting to the end of the fourth year to, you know, you get started in year three and a half.
Which is okay though. I mean, he won't do it because it would be very difficult to run the business having all those projects going.
Well, if you have the money in the bank and you can get the other 40 horses in, I would want to do that tomorrow.
Yes.
Are you sold out right now?
Yes. And I think we have about 47 horses on wait list right now.
Yeah. Okay, so you got the wait list on. So, you want to do that right away then.
Yeah.
Especially if you have the money in the bank.
But with that, part of that phase one, yes, I would love to do the breezeways, the stalls for the horses. But that hill is a safety concern.
I get it.
So we're going to do that first.
All right.
You did very good. Okay. Answering the questions. Thank you. Good job.
Yeah, I think this is great. I just had one question for staff. So I do notice it is a little far off for folks in central Orange County and District 2. So I'm wondering if there's a way that we can work with the center to possibly have some sort of partnership with the local schools so that folks in D2 can be able to actually experience horseback riding and stuff like that. So just
Absolutely. Awesome. We do.
Perfect.
We do work with schools, actually.
There you go. Awesome. I don't need to say anything.
Awesome. No, that's great, yeah. So we just expand on those programs, get some more youth out there, and that'd be great. But I love what y'all are doing.
I will add that when I was a kid, since we had horses, we would take them out to the schools. I ultimately did feel victorious in bringing a horse to show and tell. And the horse did its business in the grass, and I became the most popular in school because I had the principal shoveling it. Yeah, so.
But yeah, that is a big topic.
Yes.
Not to kind of drag this on any longer, but our facility, and it's one of the things we want to bring back. Right. It's called 4-H. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that. Our facility was the only facility in all of Orange County, and I don't want to say Southern California, but at least Orange County was the only facility that offered horses in 4-H, which is huge. We don't have 4-H right now, and that hurts me because my daughter was in it for a little bit, my sisters were in it, I know a lot of people from, she was in it, and we want to bring it back, and to have all the improvements and everything that would just help us a lot.
The Boy Scouts have a ranch. Do you guys work with them at all?
Yeah, they did a lot of their meetings in our barn. I was part of it. I was part of 623, that's the truth.
And once you get your, do you have enough parking to have like a barbecue like they do in Marco?
Yes.
Something like that?
We
because
have.
A lot of people don't like to drive all the way for their end and barbecue. I think that would be kind of good for the area of Orange County.
Yeah, so, we call them barn barbecues. We have them every quarter.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, the action before us is to pursue a lease extension with the Southern Sierra Land and Cattle Company to continue operations of the San Diego Equestrian Center. Is there a motion?
Yeah, I make a motion that we pass this, and I think that they did a wonderful job of explaining. I'm very proud of them.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Anybody abstain? Thank you for your
thank
presentation.
You guys. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Congratulations.
I brought my penis pants.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Likewise.
Thank you.
Okay, item C. This is OC Park Trails Club. Committee member reappointment.
Did it just get dark outside?
Yes.
Isn't that over?
That was
just,
weird, right?
Just like that, right?
Okay, I thought it was just me. I thought, oh, maybe I'm having a stroke.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we all are. Oh. I don't know. Like someone.
I'm sorry.
I think someone turned the light.
I just tripped out.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
We didn't touch the light, but I know what you're saying.
Can somebody turn the sun back on?
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Well, we'll talk back to summer, please.
I don't know what happened. It was weird.
Right, it was weird.
It was weird.
Okay, so we, at this time, the recommended action is to reappoint Virginia Weber to serve as a member of OC Parks Trails Subcommittee for a third and final two-year term expiring on October 3rd. Virginia, as you all probably know of her, is a very active participant at our Trails Commission meetings. She feels very good about nature, the outdoors, and also is not biased. She looks at everything that we do in great detail, and I personally am very pleased with being on that committee. She does a great job. So if anybody doesn't have any objection, I would like to make a motion that we go ahead and reappoint Virginia Weber to the OC Parks Trails Subcommittee for a third and final two-year term. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Anybody Jeff, abstain, good. That passes.
And then just to note that we do have two other subcommittee members. We're going to be bringing those to you for future consideration where their terms are set to expire in March 2025. So we did tell you that we would let you know when these things are happening. So we'll have two more. But as far as of right now, they both want to continue on it. But we still want to make sure that you
know. It seems like it's happening really quick, these terms.
It, yeah. I, Well, what's funny is I thought we were wrong on Virginia, because I feel like we just did this yesterday, but it was 2 years ago. I think time is just moving differently now.
Are they based on time when they were appointed?
From when they were appointed, yeah. Correct. Which is why they're like different times.
So when would it be appropriate to talk about raising that to 3 years instead of two or something?
Well, the trail subcommittee can talk about it and make a recommendation to the Parks Commission if that's something they
want to do. Yeah, I think.
But it's 3 2-year terms, so it's 6 years total.
Yeah, so it could be 2 3s. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's too much work. Talk about it for 4 minutes.
Now we'll move on to the exciting part.
Well, we're willing to do it if that's what it takes.
To the exciting part of our meeting, this will be the OC Park Director's Report.
Okay, so the first item I have is actually a little bittersweet. The reason that Vice Chair Ashland is not here today is because he's resigned. So we would like to recognize him, hopefully at the November meeting, if he's available. Just a couple things for those of you that didn't know that Bert very well. But he started on the Parks Commission in 2008, and then was on it for quite a while, then left for a little while, then came back in 2017, and has been serving since then. He knows all of our parks. I mean, you've seen this at our commission meetings. He really knows, asks really great questions, and really delves into it, and so he will be missed from all of us. And he wanted me to tell all of you to keep doing all the great work that you're doing, and he appreciates all of you, and he will miss you. So that's the big one. I have some other things, but that's the one.
Yeah, we will be filling the position of vice chair, probably, hopefully, by our next meeting.
So our next meeting will... Yeah.
So if anybody is interested, just...
Does it need to happen when there's only one meeting left?
Yeah, well, I think we should, because I could die tomorrow.
It's not on the agenda, so
sometimes we miss a meeting and then we just have it. I mean, do we really need to work on that for one meeting?
I really think it's important that we have a full positioning on the board. It's a very simple thing. If anybody is interested in, you know, that short term, pick up the phone, give me a call, and then we'll bring it before everybody. Thank you.
All right.
Always be prepared. I never know.
Okay. 10-4.
We could also, if you wanted to, we could move the elections up to November if you wanted to.
Any pardon?
We could move the board elections, the commission elections to November. We can talk about this later, but we have options. There's options.
Yeah, that's a good option. Because it went from January to December, right?
Yeah. That is correct.
Yeah, way to go. That's a good idea.
And then just a reminder that ethics training, you still have one commissioner who still needs to do it, but have it done by December 31st.
I did some training today prior to the meeting. Can we test it? I have a thing that's maybe a conflict. Can we test it right now?
Okay.
All right. So
since we're talking about it, but not too long.
Not too long. So the trail subcommittee is meeting next Tuesday night at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
And the first item on the agenda is referencing electric bikes in Orange County parks. For those that don't know, my wife and I, we own 8 bicycle retail stores. And that's one of the reasons why I haven't brought up the bike park for forever at any of the meetings, because I don't want people to think, oh, you put a bike thing in and then Dave, all of a sudden you buy a house on top of the hill because you sold all these BMX bikes. It ain't going to happen. Could I go to that meeting, or could it be influential that people know I'm a commissioner and I'm bike, and maybe they don't know what my means? Because I'm interested in that. I'd like to go. And then can I go as Dave from Jack's Bicycles? And then how do people then think that I'm a commissioner, and maybe I'm wanting to look at them weird, and you better think this way? Should I go to the meeting? Should I stay, or should I go now?
You know, that's a good ethical question, right? So technically, you can go as a resident, a community member, mm-hmm. and not, you can't represent yourself as a parks commissioner because we already have representation.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, since you're not on that committee, you're welcome to come and not only be a participant, but also you can speak.
But there is an undertow.
But the perception
is a big thing when I get these questions wrong in the ethics, and I got to come back. back and retake the question. It's an ethics thing.
So I think for
so
you,
who should I ask?
I think you need to ask yourself this question first. Is if you think that the perception could be negative, then maybe not.
So I've already said that I would go and not talk and not say I'm Dave from whatever or whatever. I'm just going to go and be a person in the audience and listen. And if anybody recognizes me and say hi, I'll say hi. But I'm not going to speak or say. I'm just going to be a fly on the wall and listen.
Yeah. Well, and you know, let me point something out to you.
Just want to make sure that you know that's what I'm thinking.
Now, this is going to be very simple.
Okay.
And John probably will agree with me. We, John and I, serve on the gazillion boards. We've been doing this for years. We have members of other city councils. We have people from agencies. We have people from business community. No matter who they are and what they're affiliated with, come to a meeting of a different agency or board and be an advocate. And it's perfectly all right to do that. And that's nothing out of the norm. If you want to come here and be an advocate for some point on Twitter, as Dave answers the bite thing,
that probably would not be okay.
It is. As long as he is coming not as a commissioner from here.
Yeah, that depends on the lawyer. And that would be something I would check with.
It's like John. John the mayor came in here and advocated for something. I'm John the mayor, you know, and mm-hmm. me.
It's the perception that
it's
people
the perception,
can feel.
So
yeah, but that perception doesn't make it illegal.
No, I'm not saying it's
correct.
Illegal.
Correct.
If this is not
I'm
legal,
not saying it's illegal but either.
Because
but it's
we're
perception.
Talking about ethics, it's an ethical question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't work right. Well, I'm going to go. This is what I'm planning, unless somebody invites me to drink. No, I'm just kidding. Gary. And so I'm planning on going and planning on just listening.
Be a fly on the wall.
Okay.
Yeah.
To tie in what Dave was saying, my only concern would be if they brought something related to e-bikes to the commission where he could have an economic gain. Yeah. That would be the only time where it would be an ethics question.
Correct, yeah.
But him advocating for e-bikes and e-bike use writ large in the county, I don't think that that's a common.
And then again, the perception is that I'm arguing for that so people buy bikes and then I do better.
But you have to have a
hard situation to be.
Yeah, you have to have a monetary gain before you even have to consider that.
Right. Well, we're not having any of that right now.
But go ahead, John. It's kind of like me advocating for housing. Mm-hmm. In the county, you know, how did I make my living with building mm-hmm. houses in Southern California? So it's hard to advocate. It's so long as you're not talking about a specific contract, you have the right.
Correct.
To advocate for anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would add that, you know, everybody brings some experience to the table. Have some facets of life that they're involved in, but in terms of this item, if this exact same item is before the commission, would it amount to a recusal? Like, is there an actual economic interest in speaking on this item?
Yeah, we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. It's a tough one. It's always a tough one.
It's a perception deal. That's all. I don't think it's a legal thing.
Yeah,
I think it's a perception thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Just don't wear your Dave's bike on your front shirt.
I even thought I'm not going to wear a Jack's bicycle shirt. Yeah. Right? Green Bay Packers shirt.
Go ahead.
Park Ranger recruitment. I have some really good news. We have all the background checks have been done. And as you recall, we only hire about 2% of those that apply. So we get a huge recruitment. They have to go through very rigorous. And we have 21 candidates actually have passed. We have currently have 10 park ranger vacancies to fill. And we're hoping and we're thinking that we will be able to onboard them in November, December, and have the Ranger Academy 10 starting in January 2025. And our plan is if they're right now going through medical and psych background portion of it, and not all of them will pass. Sometimes we usually have a couple of them that don't pass. And if we have more than 10, we're actually going to do some dual fill so that we know that we will have some people that will be retiring, later this year. So whatever we can do to be fully staffed on Park Ranger. So it's exciting. And after Park Ranger 10 Academy goes through, we'll bring them here. You guys will get to meet them.
How many graduated last time? Was it around 10?
I think we had 9 last time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is good.
Let's see, 1, 2, yeah, because they filled all the seats.
Uh-huh, they did, yeah.
2, 4, 6, 7.
How many applications did you have this time versus last time?
More than 800. Yeah, more than 800.
800?
Yeah.
800.
Yeah. And it's interesting because throughout the process, you know, we were telling them what this is about, and sometimes they're like, I didn't understand. And it's like, well, we've been telling you from the beginning what this is, and it's interesting. But sometimes they have a perception in their mind of what it's going to be, and it's, we are very honest because we're investing money into them just to go through the background and go through this process, and so we want to make sure that they want this because it's an important job.
And you're the park ranger.
Mm-hmm. That's a great job.
And they're also sworn personnel. So
they are. They are. This is why the background is so intense. They do the same background check as a police officer because they're police officers.
Yeah, why the psych's more important too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
Good job.
Can't wait to introduce all of them to you. And then the airport fire, we talked about that a little bit. But it's 95% contained, which is great. Finally, I was really nervous for in the beginning, obviously, and about 23,000 acres have burned so far. As far as OC Parks property, we believe we have a parcel that has burned. We're waiting for the fire to be out before we can really go and do a full assessment. Got a little bit scary in some places. We still are doing some work at Casper's with the fire department just to make sure if it ever comes back that we're ready. So we're really protecting ourselves and being proactive as much as possible. But we did have some parks that we closed during this. We closed both of our camping parks, Riley and a trail that was out in the open space. Everything's reopened except for Casper's. We're hoping to be reopening on Monday, but it's better for us to be smart. And we always have those people who like to go out and to see the fires. So I don't understand that. You can see it on TV. You don't need to go and put yourself in danger. So we're really careful about any of our parks that are adjacent to any live fires that we don't give the people the opportunity to not be smart.
Just real quickly, when you say protecting, or talk about thinning? Or?
So things that we've done in Casper's, because it is pretty close to where the fire has been. So we did do some dozer lines, okay. But because the fire wasn't there at that moment, we can work with OCFA as well as our team, Natural Resources, to make sure that we're not just going over their beautiful habitat, that we really try to go where we already have trails as much as possible or roads, and it's really just making sure that we have some natural breaks. And so this is putting in an unnatural break, but it's really just being smart about it. But I would rather have 100 dozer lines in our park and not have the entire thing burn.
Sure.
But we don't love dozer lines because it really ruins our habitat. So it's really having a good balance with it. Okay. So
we don't know yet how many acres of the park's property.
No, not yet. But we don't think very much. I think we got really lucky as far as park's property. Cleveland National Forest not so much. And then in your packet, you have a lot of events coming up, which is really, really exciting. We also have, at the end of this month, on October 29th, the Talbert Regional Park Master Plan. This is our second meeting, so that's going to be really exciting. And then we have, this is a big one, so I wanted to let you know. So we just talked about a couple leases tonight. Strawberry Farms is the golf course that's in Irvine. And that's close to Mason Regional Park. We did have to go to the board. We did not have time to bring it to the Parks Commission first, which is always our preference. This one was a little bit more complicated because it's not just our property, it's also Irvine Ranch Water District property, so we had to coordinate with them. But this was approved, and I just want to give you a couple details on this. So this was approved by the board on September 24th, so just like a couple of weeks ago, so we really were just like so close to being able to do this, but because of the financing that they had for the improvements that they're making, they really had to have it approved so they could actually start making these improvements. But just a couple of things that they're going to be doing, and our extensions with our leases are based on what improvements in infrastructure that they're making. So we don't just We don't just extend leases because we like people. We say you have to invest back into the property for us to do it. So there has to be some of that. But they're going to be rebuilding hole number 10. They're going to be repairing some of the roof on the clubhouse and installing a new walk-in refrigerator. The barn's going to install some new equipment and have a big remodel. I don't know if you've ever been in the barn, but it's a great place for really big events. I went to a wedding there many years ago. It's gorgeous. Golf cart storage, I love this. They're going to be installing solar panel carport for changing, for charging the golf carts and having solar power. So this is a really big green infrastructure that they're doing. And then repairing and replacing the golf course cart paths throughout the course because it's a never ending. But it's $5.2 million that they're going to be reinvesting into the property. So I think it's going to be really good. So just wanted to give you that information. So this is good news, but sorry that this didn't come here first because that is our preference, as I've said. And then just come to all the events. There's some really good things. If you haven't been to Heritage Hill at Halloween, come. You're also invited to, we also have Majeska's birthday celebration. Those are starting very soon. We have Boo at the Bay. We have the Zootacular, Bootacular. So, I mean, it's just really fun stuff. So we hope you come to everything. And that's all I have. I mean, you know, just a few little things. Most of the time I'm like, just come to our event. And we had some really good stuff tonight. So thank you.
That's it?
That's all. I mean, we're not really doing anything.
I put out all of your exciting events in my newsletter that I send out.
Thank you.
For the residents of Stanton. I like the idea of the names of Halloween, Boo at the Oaks, Halloween Zoos, but I think that was an important one, and Boo at the Bay. So.
They're just so cute, right?
They're good.
Yeah, I thought that was, yeah. I mean, to me, I pointed out all the Halloween ones first.
I see a theme here, yes.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, it's time for commissioners' comments and reports. We'll start with you, John.
The only thing I have to report is, as you may remember, I went to Washington a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And Department of Energy has money for fleet replacements to e-vehicles.
That's huge.
So I can get you the contact info, but if you want to go after some federal dollars to help with the fleet replacements,
that would be fantastic. We are planning on to slowly start converting our fleet over to more electric. We put into our CIP money for the infrastructure so that we can charge it, because obviously that's the piece of it. So then it takes us usually about 2 years once we put into our fleet for electric vehicles to actually get those. The issue that we're having right now in California is that they want us to start with the large vehicles, but they don't actually make the larger vehicles in electric format, so it's an interesting dynamic, but we're trying.
Do what you can do.
That's all we can do.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Haley, you up?
I don't have anything.
Okay. John?
I've already talked more than I have in every previous meeting, so.
Wise comments.
David?
Anytime we have the concerts in the parks, make sure no Doug gets on the schedule. They are wonderful. Yeah, that was an enjoyable evening. And all the different carts that you had for food, that was the one that we went to. Was that a good season of parks?
Oh, my gosh, it was a great season. We had about 35,000 that attended the concerts, 15,000 attended the movies.
Amazing.
I mean, we sold out, meaning we didn't have any more parking at quite a few of our events because so many people came. And then they still kept coming. I don't know where they parked, I didn't ask, but it was pretty amazing. It was a great summer, yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
The word is out, people know.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Shuttle service was nice.
We agree.
No comments, just thank you for presentations.
Thank you.
Anyway, guys, keep up the good work. I know that that we have a lot of great projects coming up. And everybody have a great week. It's coming up here, weekend. Enjoy yourselves. And vote. Don't forget to vote. Vote often.
Vote often.